brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. People say we now live in an age of globalization. Then we should ask, what is globalized and what globalizes it? Broadly speaking, we may say that it is the world that has been globalized, and it is information and communication technology that has made the world globalized. And to look deeper and to be more specific, the world means the human situations. And when we look at the human situation, many people today seem to be rather pessimistic to say that there are so many problems prevailing over the world. And this problem have been globalized to be global problems. Among these problems, the most predominant seems to be economic problems. As it is obvious even today, even almost all other major global problems, in a final analysis, seem to have, can be traced to economic costs. Throughout the long period of time, in what is called the modern age, people have witnessed progress and prosperity that has been made possible by the central role of the trio or the triad of science, technology, and industry. The process of bringing about this progress and prosperity has come to be called development. And this development process has as its goal or objective economic affluence consisting in material abundance. And after some time, this development process has brought us to a life which has been affluent in developed country or industrialized country, where people hope for happiness out of the consumption of material things. And after some time, this had led people to what is called consumerism, And at last, to what we call consumer society. People in this society seem to hold a view, something like a theory, that they can enjoy happiness out of the consumption of the material, or through material pleasures or sensual pleasures. But before long, the consumption of material means the consumption of natural resources, which has gone to the extent of squandering natural resources. And this has led to the deterioration of natural resources, evident in the depletion of natural resources and the serious problem of pollution. And then we face, all the world faces, environmental problem. To the degree of almost making the world, the earth, unfavorable place to live on. As this problem is very serious, at last, this process of development has come to be called unsustainable development. It means that the world or the people cannot go further in that direction of development. People who enjoy consumeristic happiness come to be frustrated. This means the consumeristic happiness is at last frustrated. But we witness not only the dead end of the consumption on the part of the consumers, but the dead end to the society and to nature or the natural environment. This means the three parties suffer from the same cause of the problem. Consumption here means overconsumption has led to conflict among people between nations, and it has caused environmental problem, and also in the mind of the individual, as mentioned earlier, the consumeristic happiness has been frustrated. As we cannot go further in this direction, we have to seek for the solution, and we try to set up a plan or something like that for what is called sustainable development. the sustainable development has been a term that came into use long ago. I think about 2 or 3 decades. Since about after 1972 or so, 2 or 3 decades. After even 2 or 3 decades, the world have not advanced in the way of solving the problem. And that is why we make effort at our best to seek for a solution, even in form of view or theory or here in the teaching of the Buddha or Buddhism. Now we speak of Buddhist economics. We hope that in some way we may find some answer to be the solution for this problem. What is the cause of this problem? As I mentioned earlier, it is mainly the economic problem. And this economic problem has been caused by economic system. This means the current economic system at least cannot be reliable. There must be something wrong in this economic system. But what is wrong? It seems that the mistake can be traced to even a wrong understanding of human nature. That might be the root cause of the problem. In modern economics, for example, people look at human nature deeper into what is called want or desire. And they say human desire or human want is not limited, or people have unlimited want or unlimited desire. And as the resources here, the natural resources, are scarce, we must be able to allocate these resources in order that people in general will be able to enjoy them. But after about a century or nearly 2 or 3 centuries now, after the Industrial Revolution, economics seem not to have achieve the goal of what we can call the overcoming of scarcity. Even worse, instead of overcoming scarcity, economic had led to the increase of insufficiency. And at last, to the dead end of the development on the two parties, in the individual, as I mentioned before, there are people would like to enjoy happiness and hope that their happiness can be enjoyed through the consumption of material. But now we see the dead end to that hope, in that the consumeristic happiness has been frustrated to the environmental problem and the social conflict. And now, as the problem has the cause here, it is here that we can solve the problem. This means, if it is a wrong understanding of the nature of the human or human nature, then we should speak, we should analyze, and we should discuss what is the right understanding of the human nature. According to Buddhism, at the first level, it is true that human desire or human want is unlimited. However, we say that there are two kinds of desire. A skillful desire and the unskillful one. The unskillful desire cannot be satisfied, and it leads to what is called dependent happiness. We enjoy happiness through the satisfaction of desire. But as this type of desire cannot be satisfied, it is unlimited. As it is unlimited, it cannot be satisfied. Then the people cannot enjoy, cannot fulfill their happiness to this kind of satisfaction of desire. That means the consumption of the material. And then they enjoy what is called consumeristic happiness, which is also dependent happiness. Consumeristic happiness, which is dependent happiness. This happiness depends on the consumption of material. And then the consumption of material entails the squandering of natural resources, and then it leads to the environmental problem, and not to speak of the social conflict or conflict among people. This is the cause. And as the human, it is the human that has caused the problem. It is the human who can solve the problem. This means if we know the true nature of the human, or the true human nature. And then we deal with the way they try or to they seek happiness. Now we, as they have the first kind of desire that is skillful, we should develop and try to satisfy this kind of skillful desire. And then we can have what is called independent happiness. This means happiness that is independent of the material, which means also not depends on the squandering of natural resources, and that will not lead to environment problem. And then if people have at least a degree of the independent happiness to balance their dependent happiness, we can lessen the environmental problem and the conflict among people, and at last deepest in the mind of the people, the consumeristic happiness would not be frustrated, because we can enjoy other kind of happiness at the same time. And it is possible because it is in accord with the human nature. And when people have developed this independent happiness, their happiness is not dependent even on their wealth. Then wealth becomes something like a surplus that they can distribute for the benefit of their neighbors or for society. And then the people who have independent happiness will let other people share happiness by enjoying their own wealth. This is the teaching of Buddhism. And what is very important when we speak of independent happiness, we should think also of freedom. When economics and the process of unsustainable development has led people to depend on the consumption of material to be happy, to have dependent happiness, they unconsciously lose the fundamental freedom. We hope that economy, I mean effective economy, should lead people to enjoy freedom. But instead of freedom, economics and that process of unsustainable development has led people to the lack and loss of the fundamental freedom, the freedom at the basic level. We used to say that people should be free or enjoy freedom from hunger. That is okay. But deeper, what is freedom from hunger? We should be free even from the dominion of the materiality. In order that when we free from the dominion of materiality, we will be able to go forward to achieve some higher and nobler end or nobler goal of life and society. But as we see, obviously, in consumerism and a consumer society, people are infatuated with this kind of happiness and the consumption of material to the extent that they do not go forward to make endeavor to achieve higher and nobler goal of life and society. This is the point that should be taken seriously, the loss of freedom, the fundamental freedom of mankind. But now we come even or fall even deeper under the influence of the material. And in this way we cannot go further. And even the human civilization might come to an end if we cannot find a way out of it. And here, when we come to look at the human nature, it is here that Buddhist economic starts, or it is a starting point, the beginning of the Buddhist economic. Buddhist economics takes a beginning at the right understanding of the human nature. We say that regarding the design, we say that there are two kinds of design, as I mentioned earlier. Skillful design and the unskillful one. And from this, we enjoy happiness through the satisfaction of the desire. When we satisfy our desire, whether it be skillful or unskillful, we enjoy happiness. But as we know, only one desire, only one kind, the unskillful one, that is dependent on the consumption of material, and then we have only dependent happiness. And to be sure, if we depend on the dependent happiness, our happiness depends in turn on the squandering of natural resources and so on to cause the environmental problem, as I mentioned earlier. That is a dead end. And now we have to try another way. This is another process of development. It is the process of human development. At least the process of human development should be in parallel or in pair with the economic development. In reality, it is the economic development that should be foundation or the basis on which human development is founded. or from that we can start. If we go this way, first people will enjoy independent happiness, at least to balance dependent happiness. And then they can go further to fulfill human freedom. Then this kind of independent happiness and the fundamental freedom of human beings can lead to the peaceful and happy coexistence for individual life with society or his neighbor, or their neighbors and the environment. This means we should have a good and happy life in the midst of beautiful and refreshing environment and in a peaceful society. This should be a goal. It is a common goal. This goal is here, man center. It is center at the man, at the human being, that we should have a good life, good and happy life. And then we go further to the environment in the midst of beautiful and refreshing environment. And then we go further to the society in a peaceful society. Then it is good for all the three parties. And what is good for the individual life should be good for the society. What is good for the individual life should be good for the environment. And what is good for the society and for the environment should be good for the human beings individually and for society and so on. Mutually helpful. And we should go this way. And it is this goal, the common goal of the three parties, that is the concern of the Buddhist economic. And we think that Buddhist economic can lead us to achieve or realize this goal. Now I think this is Buddhist economics in brief. But as there are some points that should be specially noted. First, human nature. I should try to be brief here. First, human nature regarding the design of people. We should make clear that there are two kinds of design. The unskillful, unlimited design, leading to the dependent happiness, and the skillful design, which is limited, leading to independent happiness. This is the first one. Second point, the development of the skillful design can be achieved by the process of human development. And then we come to the second point, what I call human development. That is a key word, human development, because Buddhist economics is the economic in which human development matters. And then through the process of human development, we can enjoy what is called independent happiness, which at the least degree, at the lowest degree, it is the starting point for us to go further, to achieve freedom, to fulfill freedom for human beings. And that is real freedom, not freedom as it is now. We say we are free, we have freedom, free. We are free to go into the forest and cut down a tree. We say we have freedom. But they unconsciously, they do not know that now they are not free. They are dependent. At least their happiness is dependent on the consumption of the tree. And they fall under the influence of the materiality. We have to be clear about the meaning of the term freedom also. What we call freedom now may be something what we call dependence. For example, a boy or girl, a kid who is addicted to a game, computer game, she or he might say, I'm free to play the game. Oh, sure, you are free. Free all the time, free up to the point that your parents cannot endure. Free, but now you do not realize that you are dependent on the game. You depend on it for your happiness. You are not free at all. You are under the influence of the game. You are not free. That is not freedom. Freedom means you can be free when you see that the game, playing the game may cause you some trouble here and now or in the future. You should be able to stop. That means you are free. But if you, even though you know that it is not good, it is not right, it is dangerous or something like that, but you cannot go away from it, then you are not free. And the third point, point three, is about wealth. Wealth is not denied in Buddhism. It is not discouraged. On the contrary, for lay people, wealth, the seeking and amassing of wealth, is encouraged insofar as the person deals with wealth in the rightful way in four respects. First, one should amass or seek wealth lawfully and not at the expense of one's neighbors and nature. To repeat, not at the expense of one's neighbors, and nature. Secondly, wealth should be something like a surplus that one make use of it to make oneself happy, one's family happy, people under one's responsibility to be happy, and all people, and do good deeds or meritorious deeds. And then thirdly, one should be heedful in safeguarding it. Fourthly, one should have right attitude towards wealth, to know the true nature of wealth as well as on things that they are subject to impermanence, unendurability, and causes and conditions. One should be heedful in dealing with wealth and maintain spiritual freedom. And then, as I said earlier, wealth would be something like surplus that would be not only for his own happiness, but for the happiness of fellow human beings. And then it would be for the good. That is the third point, and then we go to the fourth one. The fourth one is the common goal, as I mentioned earlier also. The common goal of having a good and happy life in the midst of beautiful and refreshing environment in a peaceful society. Then we should go on to the fifth one, that fourth point. As we have that common goal, we should make effort to realize that common goal for individual life, for society and environment. And we have the common process of human development for human beings. And at a given moment, people are at different levels of development. Therefore, we have something which we can be called unity in diversity. It means also that we should organize society to suit and to meet the needs of these people who are at different levels of development. And not only to suit and to meet their need and design, but also organize the social condition and environmental condition that will be favorable to their further development. Because human development is at the heart of this Buddhist economy. And then we go to the 8 points. We treat or we regard economics as a means, not as an end. And as a means, what we call sufficiency economy can belong to Buddhist economy. This means Buddhist economics is also sufficiency economics that implements sufficiency economy. Insofar as it meets 3 points or criteria. First, economics should not have consumption to meet the unlimited desire or want as it end or aim. Now we usually say that consumption is the end of the economic process. But here we should have a change. Economic process should not have consumption to satisfy the unlimited one as its end. But now it should has instead as its end what is called here sufficiency. The economic process should lead to the end of achieving sufficiency. This is first criterion. Then the second one we should ask, for what should it be sufficient? Should it be sufficient for the survival of the human being? No, not just that. It should be sufficient, or we achieve sufficiency for people to gain energy to make endeavor to go further to achieve or to realize the higher and nobler aim, nobler goal of life and society through the process of human development, or in other words, we should achieve this sufficiency for human beings to join the process of human development towards the nobler goal of life and society. Sufficiency, to repeat, is not only for the survival. And then, in this way, sufficiency is a means. When we speak of sufficient or sufficiency, we have to follow, to have it followed by the term for what? Not just sufficient. Here it is sufficient for the energy to go into the process of human development. And then the third one, we can say that the end of the economic process, or the economic process itself, come to an end at the beginning of the process of human development. This means economic process ends into or end to be the beginning of the process of human development. And in this way, I think we can achieve what should be the goal for the humankind, that is to fulfill freedom, the real freedom. At various levels, but at last we should realize the final freedom. To be free, really, to be truly free. And then we will have, as I mentioned earlier, we will enjoy a good and happy life amidst beautiful and refreshing environment in a peaceful society. With this, I think I should bring my talk to a conclusion. Thank you all. Let peace and happiness be unto all.